Matt Bubala with you here, 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Showcase Studio in the historic Tribune Tower on the Magnificent Mile. Michigan Avenue, it's a beautiful night out tonight. Gorgeous weather, a little breeze, a lot of people walking around outside. Twin Peaks kind of night, actually. Brad Dukes is the author of Twin Peaks and Oral History. He joins us on the phone right now, live from the Twin Peaks Festival. Hey, Brad, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing great.
Where is the Twin Peaks Festival?
It is in Snoqualmie, Washington, about 30 miles east of Seattle.
Snoqualmie, now I'm trying to remember my Twin Peaks history. Is that the location where something was shot there, or they've shot a lot of scenes there in the original series, right?
It's actually, I mean, for the first episode, that pilot, they came up here for about, I guess, 5 or 6 weeks. And then after that first episode, they moved everything to L.A., and everything was built on a set. So, but yeah, it all started up here.
So it was just one episode that was really, truly shot up there, and then everything else went to L.A. for the most part?
Yeah. And then they came back up here for Firewalk with Me. But yeah, it's interesting to think it's all... Most of it was done in California.
And what about for the new series? Was a decent amount shot up there, or was it all shot in L.A.?
Gosh, I think, as the legend goes, they filmed up here for about 5 or 6 weeks, and then they were in Los Angeles for quite a while. I guess for we can talk about it now, South Dakota and Las Vegas, places like that.
Wow. So how many? So it's very interesting because this festival has gone on. Has it gone on every year since 1992? Since the prequel movie came out, Firewalk with Me.
Yeah, that's correct.
So it must be fascinating. And I don't know how many times you've been, but I remember the festival, and I never attended, but I always thought that someday I'd like to go to it. And 3 years ago, the festival was probably, I would think, you know, waning a little bit. And then they announced they're going to make more. And now there must be insane interest in this thing, I would think.
Yeah. I mean, as a fan that was sort of watching things, I remember once the show got to Netflix is when I saw like people coming back to it. Mm. And that was really the turning point.
Do you know how many people are in attendance this year at the festival?
Yeah, there are 300 attendees.
So that's and yeah. I imagine that's an uptick over, you know, 3 or 4 years ago, right?
Oh, of course. I mean, I started coming to this in 2008 and there were about 80 people. So it's definitely changed quite a bit over the years.
How many times have you been to the festival?
I think this makes 9.
Oh my God, you've really been good about going to it. Okay.
Yeah.
And so what celebrities from the show did they get to come out to it this year?
Let's see. Sherilyn Fenn is up here, and Charlotte Stewart, Kimmy Robertson, and some of the new guys. Krista Bell was here tonight. I talked to her, so that was really cool. And yeah, I think they actually have 15 of the actors up here. So it's
wow.
Been a very crazy experience.
Yeah, that's really incredible. Now, how long does the festival run?
It started today and then we will run through Sunday.
And will it be panel discussions about the show, about shooting the shows, about the movie, about David Lynch in general? What type of things go on at the fest?
Oh, yeah. So tonight we had this banquet dinner and a panel with the cast and crew, and then there was a costume contest, which was really crazy. This guy dressed up like the woodsman from Part 8 in Twin Peaks, and
cool.
He won. It was awesome. And then tomorrow, I'm actually taking some people on a bus tour, and then I think we're screening Wild at Heart tomorrow.
Oh,
so
very
it's
cool.
All kinds of fun stuff.
Any chance that has David Lynch ever appeared at the fest?
No, I don't think so, but he usually will send a message through an actor. You know, it might just be a quick poem or something, but it's always interesting to know that he knows we're up here celebrating.
Yeah. Oh, very cool. All right. So let's get into the movie a little bit, because you and I have not talked since, right before it premiered, a couple of weeks before it premiered, you were on the show with us. And we talked about what to expect and what we're hoping for. I'd gone through the IMDb list with you of who's going to be in, who's not going to be in, what we knew at the time. You had said, you know, don't go exactly by what you see on IMDb because, you know, that might not all be completely accurate. Although it seems like it's turned out so far to be relatively accurate, wouldn't you say?
I would say so, yeah, absolutely.
We still have not, we're 11 hours into 18, and it's my buddy Jim and I, who I work with, who were just huge Peaks fans since college when we got turned on to it. We are so sad that we're already 11 hours through this thing because it's been so damn good. It's ridiculous. And to think we only got 7 hours left, A, to wrap up what they've started, but also that it's going to end, it just crushes us because it's really been so enjoyable. And, you know, it's funny, Brad, last time we talked, I think I might have said, I don't remember, but I know I was thinking at the time, if you haven't watched Twin Peaks, yeah, I know, because you and I talked about, you know, here's your crash course. You got to watch the first 10 hours. After that, you can skip pretty much to the end if you want to get caught up. Because I thought that, you know, if you haven't watched it, Lynch is not going to be the kind of person who takes care of you and really brings you up to speed. But I think they've done a surprisingly good job. If you had never watched the original series, you can start watching this. They give you enough background on what had happened in the past that I believe you can jump in without ever having watched the original series.
Yeah, I mean, as crazy as it is, I think if you are just told one thing coming into it, you know, this guy has his evil twin is out, you know, causing trouble 25 years later. Yeah. I guess you could. But, I mean, it's such a grueling, you know, offering so far because it's just this big puzzle, and it,
yeah,
I don't think anybody really knows how it fits together except David Lynch. But I mean, I talk to people on my podcast every week and people will message me and it's like everybody looks at this differently. And I mean, it's really a testament to how special it is when it can generate that amount of different reactions.
Yeah. I imagine you've just been intensely pleased with it so far.
Yeah. I really love every part. I mean, for different reasons. I mean, it's just strange. It's like you'll have a favorite character pop up in one episode and then you won't see them again for like, you know, 8 weeks. So,
yeah. Well, and going back to the original series, James Hurley, who was an integral part of the first series, appeared in one episode. I don't know if it was the first or second or third episode, but very early on, he appeared flittingly for like 3 seconds and we haven't seen him again. And Big Ed Hurley has still never been on the screen yet. He finally got mentioned last week, but he still hasn't appeared. And so, which is fine. I honestly, the first time I saw Nadine, I thought, I hope this is the only time I see Nadine. Because there's not that I don't like the character or the actress or anything. Just there's too much going on. We can't waste time with these little stories. And so, you know, sometimes I'll see a character. I'm like, okay, that's nice. But now let's move on because I need something, you know, to go along with things. And So it's very tough to figure out, is he just kind of giving a nod to the past and I'll show these people, or is this all going to somehow tie together in the end? Do you think, we've been debating this every week as we watch the show, wondering whether there are going to be a lot of loose ends that just never get solved, or if there are a lot of things also that are just, that's a Lynchian non sequitur and that doesn't matter to everything. It's just a weird little thing. Don't over worry about it. How much do you think everything will tie up when this series ends?
Gosh, that is something I've thought about for so long, because if you think back to the original ending of Twin Peaks, Dale Cooper looking at Bob in the mirror, I mean, they've got to have something up their sleeves to try to top that, or else why even bother making more Twin Peaks? So, I mean, I think we're going to get some kind of resolution about Dale Cooper, but everything else seems secondary to me. So I could see a lot of this stuff up in the air, but I really do want some sense of closure with this character of Agent Cooper that some people have lived with for 25 years.
Yeah.
So I think as long as I have that at the end of the day, I'll be pretty happy.
My prediction is that Dale will be dead at the end of the series.
Oh, man. Gosh. I hope not. It's pretty grim.
It is grim. But, well, I don't think it will necessarily be grim, because it doesn't have to be grim, right? I mean, it can be a happy thing as well, sort of a freeing of a spirit type thing. And I think that that could be the case, that he's, you know, he lives on in the White Lodge or things like that. I don't think it's necessarily a gruesome he's dead, but more of his spirit is now free type thing. What stood out to you most so far over these 11 hours?
What surprises me most?
Or has just stood out, like, I don't know, like, what's, if somebody's just going to say, what do you think so far? What's the first thing you start talking about?
I always point back to that scene in part three where you've got Evil Cooper wrecking this car and holding down all this vomit, and then you've got Bill Cooper climbing out of this purple world through a an electrical outlet, and then you've got this Dougie guy disappearing into the Black Lodge. So that has far and away been just my favorite crazy scene.
Anybody listening right now who has not watched this show is just going, what the hell is this guy talking about?
But I had a friend who watched the old Twin Peaks, but they didn't want to invest the time and check out a new season. And they were like, can you just tell me what happened so far? And I tried. And like 5 minutes later, I was like, did I make any sense at all?
Let's try to give the quick synopsis if we can so far. And if you think you're going to jump into it and don't want to know, that's fine. Tune away for a second or two. But basically, when Twin Peaks, the series ended, Dale Cooper, who had come to Twin Peaks as an FBI agent to investigate the death of Laura Palmer, and it related to another murder outside of the county, so that's why the FBI got involved. There was this evil spirit that had possessed somebody on the show who killed Laura. And the way the show ends is the evil spirit gets inside Agent Dale Cooper. And that's how the series actually ends, is us seeing that the evil spirit is now inside Dale. We pick up 25 years later, which was prophesied in the show, because in one of these dream sequences Dale had, where he was in this room that we call the Black Lodge, Laura tells him he's an old man, or I forget which scene it is, but she tells him, I will see you again in 25 years. And so that's kind of how the show actually kicked off. The very first episode kicks off with that scene. And then we move to present time. And so where it picks up, and by the way, Brad, I don't know what I expected, but there was nothing about the way the show started that I thought, oh, yeah, that's what I thought would happen. I mean, we know that there might be a bad Cooper, but so bad Dale Cooper is set free in the world. Good Dale Cooper is stuck in the Black Lodge. Which was also prophesied, right, in Fire Walk With Me, in the prequel movie that came out after the show. But that there's two Dale Coopers running around. And then a third, because it basically what happens is, it sounds like, and I don't know if you know this as concrete or not, what it seems like from the show is after 25 years, Bad Dale has to go back into the Black Lodge. But he doesn't want to, because he's got a pretty cool life going in the real world. So he set up almost like a decoy Dale Cooper, who will get sucked into the lodge instead so he can keep running around in the world. So that guy goes in and good Dale Cooper comes out. Is that sort of how you would explain it?
Yeah. I mean, it feels like there's a rule and you've got this 25-year thing where good Dale can come out, the bad Dale got to go in, but it seems like this has all been thrown into chaos. And I kind of like how you've got some people like this in the sheriff's department in Twin Peaks kind of working their way to this story too. So it's really going to be interesting to see how it all ties together.
It does seem like it's really going to tie together. I feel like he is starting to converge these storylines. Do you think so? From the original series, there was Dr. Jacoby, who was the psychologist who was treating Laura Palmer. He was a real fruitcake type guy who was just way out there. And he's in the series, but now he doesn't have his doctor's license anymore, and he's kind of like a late night black helicopter, government's out to get us guy, screaming these rants on YouTube, it seems like, and he is selling these golden shovels that he paints himself so we can dig our way out of all the crap that the government gives us, it sounds like. So he's been on twice with these rants about the government. And I keep thinking, okay, is this just a weird Lynchian thing, or is this going to tie in? I'm starting to think he's going to tie into this in the end, too.
Yeah, I have no idea what Jacoby is doing. But like the gold shovel is going to go somewhere, and I have no idea. That's really something that keeps me puzzled.
Yeah, there's a lot that keeps you puzzled. Even if we just go into the the imagination of the whole idea of the Black Lodge and the White Lodge, the scenes that we've seen with that, the episode 8, which people will refer to forever now in Twin Peaks, is this whole, do you characterize it as a creation story, Brad?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's another thing that people can look at and you're not going to have one opinion. And it's kind of like an episode in Lost that explains all of the backstory towards the end.
Yeah, it really is. And so that if you see no other episode, in fact, I had my son, Jack, who's 16, watch, just jump in on episode 8 and watch that. Because he had watched a little bit of Twin Peaks originally, but never got into it. So I just made him watch episode 8 with me. And he was just like, what the hell is this? I mean, that is an episode that if you're not all in, that takes you away. That makes you say, okay, I've tried, but this just isn't working for me. That really, I think, defines you as whether or not you're willing to go along with the artisticness of this and just live through. I mean, there's the length of the scenes and things like that in that episode are just mind numbing. But it's also just incredibly beautiful artistry as well. And I don't even know how to describe what exactly happens. And this kind of gives you the background on where the evil of Twin Peaks comes from and what hath we wrought type storyline. But the way that tell them I'm on the radio. Who's trying to talk to you, Brad? Are you in a bar? Are they, come on, Brad, do a shot with Twin Peaks Fest.
I am at the Real Great Northern, and it's like, I've like dodged room to room because it's a party, you know?
That's awesome. It's 1 o'clock in the morning. You're in the Real Great Northern and people are partying it up.
Yeah, and so I can hear the waterfall, like, from where I'm standing. It's crazy.
What is the
and
Real
I can
Great
tell you, the party doesn't stop until the morning.
Does it really? Will they go all night there?
Oh, yeah,
What is the Real Great Northern called?
It's called the Salish Lodge and Spa.
And was that, so that's the exteriors of the Great Northern Hotel, is that hotel?
Yeah, it looks exactly like it, but then it does look different on the inside. They don't have the tribal paintings and things like that. But, you know, it's funny. Some of the actors stay here during the festival, so, you know, if one of them comes in and out, I may put them on the phone.
That would be cool. That would be very cool. So you said Sherilyn Fenn is there. She has not appeared in the series yet, and she was promoted heavily. She was on the cover of Entertainment Weekly. We all knew she was going to be in, although IMDb identified her as only having one episode. Is everybody all over? Yeah. Is like, when is Audrey going to appear? And has she given anything away?
Oh, gosh, no. I mean, it is like the CIA up here. Someone asked a question, you know, too close to the bone. You know, the producer would look over and there would be like, yeah, we can't say anything.
Yeah. You know, it's funny when they did their pre-show press and like Kyle MacLachlan and Jim Belushi and Kimmy and I think Dana Ashbrook were on Good Morning America. And it was the weirdest segment because they literally couldn't answer a thing. And it sounds like only Kyle MacLachlan truly knows what happens in the show, that everybody else was kind of just given what they needed.
Yeah. They said tonight that Kyle, only person on the cast that had read the script, and literally everybody else was just showing up to work and they had no idea how it fits into anything. So it's very interesting to hear some of the behind the scenes stories.
Yeah, I'll bet. Let me ask you, what is your most pleasant surprise so far? And first I'm going to tell you mine. I did not look forward to seeing Jim Belushi in this. I thought, you know, he's kind of a cheesy comedic actor and I like him and he's Chicagoan and all, but Jim Belushi, I have loved the storyline with Jim Belushi in this. I think he's been really, really good. I'm stunned and surprised and so happy about it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess the most pleasant surprise is Evil Cooper. I mean, Kyle MacLachlan's been able to make this entirely new character that's really driving this story. So, I mean, I just never would have expected that kind of performance from Kyle like that. I mean, obviously he's the master of Dale Cooper, but he also is the master of the other side, which I think is just such a testament to his talent and ability.
He's playing three different characters in this movie series, and regular Dale, he's barely been in at all, but Evil Cooper and this guy, Dougie Jones, which is now Dale Cooper. As Dale came back into the real world, and we don't exactly know what the story is, but he is not himself either because of how he reentered the world. His brain has been fried and it's sort of like an amnesic state, or maybe because I wonder, Brad, and I wonder what your theory is on this, is Dale Cooper not himself because of what he went through to come back into the world, or because evil Dale Cooper is still in the world and they can't both truly exist at the same time?
Ooh, that's a loaded question. I think it's right now we're waiting for his mind to catch up.
We're losing yourself for a second. But so it sounds like you'd say you think more of an amnesic state, like it's slowly all going to come back to him.
Yes. Yeah, I think so. We're working our way back.
All right. Hold on 1 second. We got to take a quick break. If you have a cast member there, we'd love to talk to them as they're partying up at the Great Northern in the Pacific Northwest. Brad Dukes is on the phone with us. He's the author of Twin Peaks and Oral History, which you can download or buy online. 312-981-7200 is the number. If you have a Twin Peaks question for Brad after the news, or if you're a big fan of the show and want to make a comment, we'd love to hear from you as well. Let's take a quick break, catch up on headlines, and then more with Brad Dukes from the Twin Peaks Festival next, 720 WGN.
When the twilight is gone, and no songbirds are singing, when the twilight is gone, you come into my heart, and here in my heart you will stay. While I pray.
Matt Bubala with you, 720 WGN, speaking with our friend Brad Dukes. He's up at the Twin Peaks Festival in Washington. We'll just do a few more minutes with Brad. He's having trouble getting away from the party, I think, up there, and having trouble keeping the signal. Brad, couple of quick questions that I still want to ask you about what's happened in the show and what's going on with all the characters, things like that. So,
sure.
Cherry Pie finally made an appearance last week on the show. What goes on at the festival with Cherry Pie? Is there a Cherry Pie eating contest?
Well, there's a cherry stem tying contest where, you know, the person who can, you know, tie a cherry stem the fastest wins a big prize. So that's always a fun contest to watch.
Yeah, that sounds like it would be. I imagine it would be. I was just thinking of this during the break. So before Twin Peaks came back, when it was first announced, so it's an 18-part series, but David Lynch says he thought of it more as an 18-hour movie. And when it first was announced, I can't remember the exact number, it was only going to be 9 or 12 hours. Do you remember what it was originally announced as?
It was 9, yeah.
It was 9. So it was only going to be 9 hours. And so we're already 11 hours in. And it's not like they could have condensed this all very easily into just 9 hours, I don't think. And I wonder, and you remember, so it was announced as 9, and then there was some drama that there were some disagreements between Showtime and David Lynch, and it sounded at the time like it was about money, but when it all got worked out, it became 18 hours. And I don't know if that was a Showtime thing, but in my head, I'm thinking David Lynch and Mark Frost come up with this story and say, "All right, no way in hell we can tell this in 9 hours." And so they either had to have a fight with Showtime or do something to get them to go, okay, 18 hours. Do you know what went down with all that and how it went from 9 to 18?
I really don't. That is a huge mystery that I would love to find out one day. But I think, like all things in Hollywood, it's money, and they needed more of it, and I think the only way they were going to get it is if they produced more hours. So I don't know. Everything has been so tight-lipped about Twin Peaks that something like that feels like it's, you know, a mystery that might need some time to unravel.
Yeah, till it's all over with, and then people look back and reveal a little bit more.
Exactly.
And as far as the ratings, I know that there were stories early on that the ratings aren't good, but then there were stories that started coming out that while the original live viewings on Showtime aren't huge numbers, when they count all the streams and the repeat views and everything else, the number turned out to not be so bad. Has Showtime commented at all as the series has run about how happy or not they are with what they've seen so far and how the numbers have been?
I have only just seen them spin it. I think they enjoy that they're part of the conversation. I think they knew that letting David Lynch make an 18-hour movie isn't the most commercial move you can make. Mm-hmm. So I think this was a creative risk, and I think Showtime really needs something like a Game of Thrones or a Game Changer to, you know, really hang with HBO. So yeah. I think this was, you know, a strategized move to do that.
And was there ever an announcement, or do you have any idea what the budget was for this? Because it does not seem to be shot on a shoestring, that is for sure.
Oh, gosh, I have no idea. I haven't even heard a rumored number, so I definitely couldn't even say.
What about people? You know, there were 400 people, some listed on the IMDb site. That was the big story that came out about the huge cast that's in this. We still haven't seen Eddie Vedder yet. We saw Trent Reznor from Nine Inch Nails just in a musical scene. What do you make? And let me ask you that, because almost every episode has ended at the Roadhouse, which was the bar in Twin Peaks, with a band playing. At least out of the 11, probably 8 of them have ended with a musical interlude, right? And and I keep thinking, wow, is this just his way of ending the episodes, or is this all going to tie in? I'm starting to think there is going to be some big tie-in for the Roadhouse at the end, that it's going to make sense that we kept watching whole songs play more than just, oh, that helps tell the story, this song relates to the story. What do you think is going to happen with that? Do you think that's going to relate at all?
I think the last, it would be cool for the last music performance to be Julie Cruz. And I mean, she was the original Roadhouse singer, so I think we're kind of leading up to that, but I really like these, you know, the cinematic closing to each part where a band is playing and we see the credits and it, you feel like you've just watched a movie. I love how that works, but I mean, as we get closer to the end, it just gets more and more unpredictable.
Yeah. Michael Ontkean is not in the series. His brother, the other sheriff, Frank Truman, is now running Twin Peaks. He's spoken to Harry by phone. We haven't heard Harry's voice, but we know that Harry is sick. And it's believed that he will not be in the series at all. Heather Graham has not appeared in the series at all, though her character has also been referenced. Do you think we're going to, of any of the people that are rumored to not be in it at all, do you think we'll get an appearance by anybody?
Oh, gosh, let me think. I mean, the big question mark would be David Bowie, because they were filming this for probably 3 or 4 months before he passed away, but... Mm-hmm. I mean, that would be the shock of the century. So who knows? I would love to see Bowie, and hopefully I want to see Killer Bob. That was my favorite character. So I hope they find a way to, you know, bring that character back to life.
Frank Silva, the gentleman who played Bob. Well, he has appeared in the episode with old footage several times now. And even sort of in Dale Cooper's face, although I didn't think they did as good of a job with that as they could have. I was a little disappointed at the one time Dale Cooper looked in the mirror and his face transformed a little bit. And he said, good, you're still with me. I wanted him to do a little more. But, you know, it's funny because we just saw with the Star Wars movie that was out earlier this year, Grand Moff Tarkin was in most of the movie completely CGI. So they certainly have the technology now to do that. I don't know if the cost is prohibitive to do it for something that's on Showtime versus a major Star Wars movie, but they certainly could do something like that if they truly wanted to.
Yeah, I do. I mean, I think we're in for more and more surprises. I mean, I think it's going to be crazy, and I can't wait.
Brad Dukes is the author of Twin Peaks and Oral History. You can order it on Amazon or anywhere online that people sell books, right, Brad?
That's right.
And where should people go to visit your podcast or other writings?
They can find me on the Brad Dukes Show and on iTunes and SoundCloud. And I've been reviewing episodes each week in depth. So I hope you'll check it out.
That sounds good. Have fun up there. Stay out of trouble. Is there trouble to get into? Is it a crowd that will truly stay out all night drinking and partying and like just reveling in it?
Yeah. And trading theories. I mean, it won't stop. probably won't stop until Monday.
Awesome. Well, Brad, we will check in again. Maybe right before the final episode, we'll have you back on and chat a little bit more, okay?
I would love to do that. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for jumping on the phone. Have a good time. Stay out of trouble. Brad Dukes, Twin Peaks and Oral History from the Twin Peaks Festival up in the Pacific Northwest. Matt Bubala with you, 720 WGN.